This episode of Weekly Spooky is brought to you by Boggy Creek, the series, free to watch on Tubi. Follow the exploits of Roger and Sarah, two researchers of the American Yeti Project, as they investigate Bigfoot and try to find proof positive of the legendary monster. But what other mysteries will they uncover in the mysterious backwoods of Boggy Creek? Starring Eric Roberts of The Dark Knight, Brink Stevens of Slumber Party Massacre, Mike Halinski of Haunted House and Sorority Row, and Joni Durian of Babysitter Massacre. Bigfoot just might be the least of their worries as they encounter cursed scarecrows, serial killers, witches, dangerous bank robbers, and ruthless poachers, among many others. So check it out today, free to stream on Tubi. Boggy Creek, the series. Executive produced by Fred Olen Ray, and directed by Henrik Kuto. Hey, that's me.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we have a real fun, gut-munching good time coming right up for you. We're going to be going back to Strickfield this week, but we're going to learn a little bit more about what folks like to call the backwoods. But before we get to that, please take a moment, if you haven't already, and subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. And while you're there, why not leave us a star rating? Whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, leaving us a star rating helps other folks find the program, and we sure do help you. It costs you nothing but a moment of your time, and I would very much appreciate it. And if you want to take one step further, you can go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to exclusive content, including a monthly exclusive Weekly Spooky, where I read some legendary creepypastas, among other things. So please go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. It's how you can support the program directly and make sure that we bring the spooky every single week. And I very much appreciate all of you who have stuck with us month after month on Patreon. We're at 80 backers. Help us get to 100. And I promise I'll make it worth your while. But anyway, my friends, Strickfield, Ohio beckons. It's our little terror town. And things are getting a bit hairy and a bit scary. So let's head to the story right now. And I'll be back afterward to chat with you. But get comfortable, and let's listen.
Zombillies by Rob Fields.
Residents of the village of Strickfield and surrounding communities considered its vast backwoods a separate and often terrifying entity that existed all its own. It was said that if you ever went into those backwoods, that you might never return the same way you entered, or not at all. However, it was noted that Patrick Gunter, Strickfield's mayor, lived in a log cabin in the backwoods. Yet, he managed to make it into the village each day to do his mayoral duties. What very few people understood was that aside from ghouls, cannibals, and other anomalies, other people lived in the backwoods making their own worlds, according to their surroundings. One such story takes place in a little community about 6 miles from Mirren Automotive. Little Billy McCracken slammed the door open to the trailer he lived in with his mother and came outside. Billy lived in the backwoods from the time his mother gave birth to him, making this the only world he had ever known in all of his 7 years. He still found ways to keep himself entertained, however. His favorite form of entertainment was tormenting his neighbor across the way. Silas Blankenship was a cantankerous 62-year-old man who always picked a quarrel with just about everybody who lived in the community. His hatred was mostly directed toward Billy for all the torment he'd received. One day, when Silas stepped outside his trailer, he was immediately met with a big splash and a sudden darkness from the bucket planted above him. Silas could hear little Billy howl with laughter when he pulled the bucket off his head. "You goddamn little son of a bitch!" he screamed. Suddenly, Billy's mother came outside. "Nobody needs to hear your fucking mouth this time of the morning. Shut the fuck up, Silas!" Silas pointed at her. "Aw, go and spread your legs like you've been doing, Verna. That's how that goddamn bastard of yours came out of you." He pointed to Billy. "You don't even mind him. No wonder he's always getting into trouble." Verna smiled, wickedly, and glanced over at Billy. "You go on and play with Silas, Billy." "Sure thing, Ma," he said happily. And before Silas realized, Billy zipped right past him and into his trailer. Silas growled with rage and spun around. "You get the fuck out of my house this minute, you little bastard! God damn it!" Billy ran around and knocked everything to the floor that wasn't bolted down, laughing his maniacal, mischievous laughter. Silas had to walk with a cane and couldn't catch Billy. Eventually, Billy zipped right past him and back outside. Silas appeared in his doorway again and pointed right at Verna. "You need to be raising your bastard right instead of whoring yourself for miles around." Verna pointed back at him. "You're just yapping because I won't give your old shriveled up pecker none of this." Verna was close to 30 and quite feisty for a backwoods woman. She wasn't much of a looker, but the men she slept with didn't care on the count of her gorgeous body. It was no secret that Billy came as a result of one of her many, many affairs. It was also no secret that Verna only raised Billy long enough until she knew he could take care of himself. Billy certainly wasn't an educated little boy. He couldn't do math, read, or write. He was backwoods smart, however. For one thing, he came to excel at hunting and making traps. All he had to do was see, then act. In this, he became both a good hunter and prankster. Billy could feed himself by catching and eating his prey. He also learned how to take care of what few items of clothing Verna had given him, which was a Harley Davidson t-shirt, bib overalls, and hunting boots. Silas pointed at Billy as he yelled at Verna. "I mean it, bitch! One of these days, I'm gonna blow his fucking heart clean out of his chest! You wait and see if I don't." Verna rolled her eyes as she walked down the steps and left to meet whatever man she was planning to shack up and get naughty with. Silas growled and glared at Billy. "I mean it, you fucking little shit. You stay away from my house and me." Billy smiled mischievously again. "You're so much fun to play with." Silas growled again before he backed into his trailer and slammed the door. That afternoon, Silas decided to sit outside. As soon as he stepped onto the wooden steps, he heard the loud snap and looked down to see the toothless snare that was now a minor inconvenience to him. Billy had adjusted the bear trap to not cause serious injury when he used it to prank Silas, but stepping in the trap was just the beginning. Silas ended up falling down the steps and landing flat on his back. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Billy come out of his hiding place and start dancing a little victory dance. He sat up and glared at him. "Okay, you fucking bastard," he growled. "I'm gonna fix you once and for all." Silas pulled himself back to his feet. After he removed the trap, he went back into his trailer. A few minutes later, he reemerged, double-barrel shotgun in hand. He smiled cruelly when he saw little Billy was directly in front of him. Clearly, Billy was planning on coming back into his trailer and creating more havoc. Now, he was staring directly into the twin barrels aimed at him. "I got you now, you little son of a bitch," he sneered. Little Billy McCracken never even so much as made a sound when Silas pulled both triggers and did exactly what he promised. After the bullets came out his back, Little Billy stood there for a moment before he fell backwards, like a freshly cut tree. Silas knew he couldn't just leave Billy's body there for anybody to see. He threw the shotgun back inside his trailer and worked to move the body towards his old beat-up pickup truck. Silas drove deeper into the backwoods region, towards the swamp. He wasn't sure he really wanted to head into there, on account of the stories he'd heard about flesh-eating ghouls living out there. Still, this was the only sensible place where he could dispose of his little problem. When he reached the seemingly black river water, he turned the truck around and backed up quickly. Just before reaching the water, he jammed on the brakes and watched Billy's body slide out of the back and land smack in the river. Silas watched the body float, still for a moment. Then it began to float away from the shore and further into the blackness of the woods beyond. Billy's body moved down the river until it was well into the late afternoon. At one point, he moved down a fork which led to the dead end, and a corroded barrel that was partially in the water. The barrel had finally started leaking the toxic waste that had been contained for what must have been many, many years. Billy's body moved right into the glowing green ooze. After several minutes, Billy began to twitch, slowly at first, then faster. Finally, Billy was moving to the point where he made his way to the shore and pulled himself out of the water. He approached the dirt trail that led to the water and started shambling it. A.J. Hamilton and his neighbor friend Ashley were both around 8 when they stepped onto the little dock about a quarter of a mile from their houses. They sat on the edge of the dock and cast their fishing lines into the dark water. Most any other day, it was peaceful on their lake, whether it be day or night. But today wasn't most any other day when Billy McCracken shambled onto the dock. Ashley barely screamed when Billy bit into her throat and tore a big chunk of flesh out. AJ shoved Billy away and gasped when he saw blood spurting out of the big gaping hole that revealed Ashley's neck bone. That distraction was all Billy needed to come up behind him and bite into his shoulder. Within a few hours, Billy McCracken had a zombie army of 7. As they shambled back to their part of the backwoods, they heard noises coming from nearby and saw a vehicle had broken down. A mother was keeping her 4 children entertained a ways away while the father remained with the vehicle to change the tire. Billy raised a hand and pointed at the family, uttering a few growling sounds. The other child zombies uttered some growls back and followed Billy as they shambled towards the mother and children. The father never saw the child zombies as they overpowered him and took him to the beaten asphalt. He gasped when he saw his own children were among these abominations. He screamed when his twin daughters tore his stomach open and started pulling out the intestines. His scream would go unheard, however, for 2 reasons. The first was that his wife was being eaten by other zombies. The second, no one hears anyone scream in the backwoods of Strickfield. After the child zombie army of now 11 had finished consuming both parents, they continued on. Billy uttered more growling sounds and the zombies followed him back in the direction of his house. Billy sneered a little as he knew where he and his army would get their next meal from. Silas Blankenship realized he was alone as he sat next to his steps and cleaned his shotgun. He had been smiling for much of the day, knowing he was finally free of little Billy McCracken. The little shit would never make his life a living hell again. "And I'd do it all over again," he said to himself. "Yeah, I wish that little bastard was here again so I can kill him again and again." Suddenly, Silas heard what sounded like several sticks breaking, followed by some weird groaning.
"What the fuck is that?" Silas demanded. "Who's out there?"
When he heard the groans again and saw the ominous shapes in the trees, he loaded his shotgun and took aim at nowhere in particular.
"I mean it. I'll blow your goddamn heads clean off. Ain't nobody gonna fuck with Silas Blankenship."
The figure started to slowly emerge. Silas's jaw dropped when he saw at least 20 children, many of them missing flesh, limbs, and other vital organs. Yet somehow, they were walking and moving about.
"What the fuck?"
As the undead children advanced slowly, they moved and surrounded his trailer to where he wouldn't be able to get past them without a fight. Silas picked up his shotgun shells and shoved them into his pants pocket. Then he saw little Billy McCracken standing at the center of the children.
"I killed you, you little bastard," he sneered, seeing the gaping hole in Billy's chest. "Yeah, I killed you, and I'll kill you again."
Silas raised the shotgun and shot Billy for the second time that day. This time, the two bullets caught him in the left shoulder, causing him to stagger back slightly. Billy groaned a little before he stood firm again. As he went to move his injured arm, he groaned seemingly in frustration, as if he realized he could no longer use his arm. When he saw it was ready to fall off, he growled a little and used his good hand to pull the now useless arm off easily. He held it to his side and looked at Silas Blankenship, who quickly reloaded his double barrel.
"I'll shoot you again, you little bastard," Blankenship declared.
Billy growled again. The other child zombies looked his way. Billy gave a louder grunt, then another growl. The others growled in response and turned their attention back to Silas. Billy gave one quick growl, and they all shambled quickly toward Silas. Silas raised his shotgun.
"Yeah, come on, you little fucking sons of bitches."
He took a shot at one of the twin girls and sent her staggering back. She seemed to be stunned for a moment before she continued her advance next to her sister.
"You gotta be fucking kidding me," Silas yelled. "This is bullshit."
Silas quickly loaded two more shells and shot the twin girl again in the face, blowing her brains everywhere. She fell over fast and stayed down. Silas knew how to stop them now. He reached into his pocket and found his last two shells. He quickly loaded his shotgun and took aim. The other twin girl had reached Silas, lunged forward, and bit into his arm.
"Oh, lordy!"
Silas roared. He managed to kick her hard enough to send her falling, almost falling over himself. Silas growled in pain as he threw his cane away and staggered back into his trailer. He tried to slam the door shut, but Billy jammed enough of himself inside to prevent that.
"No! No!"
Silas staggered back. Then more and more of the child zombies entered the trailer. Silas took aim and shot another one in the head, bringing it down for good. He turned and moved toward the gun cabinet, where he had more shotgun shells. He opened the cabinet and grabbed a few. He just finished loading the shotgun again, when he felt lots of little hands on him.
"Oh, bullshit!"
Silas attempted to raise the gun, but Billy knocked it away using his severed arm as a club. At the same time, he was being pulled down to the floor. The last thing Silas heard were the noises the creatures were making. The last thing he saw was the sneer of little Billy McCracken as his clothes were being torn away, and then the flesh afterwards. The last thing Silas uttered was a blood-curdling scream. However, in the backwoods of Strickfield, no one will hear you scream. Mike Cruz had just finished a grueling day at Mirren Automotive. Multiple times he had gotten his ass chewed out by higher-ups for his people not making quota in his department. He just wanted to get the hell out of that factory and head for home. He knew a couple of cold ones were waiting for him once he walked in the door. Usually he drove the long way home to avoid driving through the backwoods. He'd heard a lot of stories around both Mirren Automotive and his own neighborhood. On this day, however, he was so frustrated that he just wanted to get home as fast as he could and enjoy those beers. Maybe he'd even have a glass of the Kraken rum he had in the freezer. When he came up the intersection, he turned off the asphalt and took the dirt road heading into the backwoods. "Those are just a bunch of stories," Mike told himself. "How the hell does all this shit take place back here? Christ, Robbie Farnes was telling me that cannibals were living out here. And then I even heard stories about flesh-eating ghouls. I mean, come on! What do these fucking idiots take me for? I'll be on the other side in a little bit and home in less than 5 minutes." Mike sped up his 64 Chevy Nova and started into a long curve. And then he was suddenly jamming on the brakes when his headlights revealed multiple children across the road. "Oh, come on! What the fuck?" Mike sat there and laid on the horn. The children just looked at him and started shambling in his direction. Then he caught sight of little Billy McCracken and saw him holding his severed arm and the hole blown through his chest. He saw that A.J. Hamilton's stomach was missing, literally missing, as in no flesh, no actual stomach. Now he knew, that the stories he had heard about the backwoods of Strickfield were indeed true, and he was now in the middle of his very own story. Oh, shit! Mike quickly shifted and backed the car up. Then he turned around. When he saw the child zombies in his mirrors, he quickly shifted gears and slammed his foot on the gas. He could hear the muscular engine roaring as the back tires were spinning on the dirt road. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! Mike could feel himself sweating when he saw the zombies drawing ever so close. Come on, come on! The next thing he knew, the head of little Billy McCracken appeared at his open window and uttered a loud growl. Mike screamed like holy hell and shoved him away just as the car finally started moving forward. The muscle car shot so fast that Mike barely saw the tree coming up to meet him. He quickly turned the wheel so that he only sideswiped the tree on the passenger side as he sped past it. Mike quickly made it back to the main highway and counted his blessings that he'd been in the backwoods and would live to tell about it. As far as he was concerned, he was never taking any more shortcuts through the backwoods, ever, ever again. Vinton Rose and his girlfriend Shelley Mae Rubottom were on their way back from the Strickfield drive-in. Vinton was driving his pickup with one hand while holding his girlfriend in the other arm.
"I sure do appreciate y'all taking me out tonight, honey," Shelley Mae purred.
"We needed to get away for a bit," Vinton replied. "Besides, you've been asking to go back to the drive-in. Good night for it."
You know what else is a good night for?"
Shelley Mae sat up and pulled her top down to expose her breasts.
"Now hurry up and get us to your house."
"Oh, baby, y'all know Mom and Pop ain't home. Let's go."
Vinton hurried and got them back to their community.
"I hope Verna McCracken ain't gonna be all coming home drunk off her ass again," Shelley Mae muttered, securing her top. "She just never shuts up."
Vinton shrugged.
"If it ain't her, it's Silas Blankenship."
Soon, the two lovers pulled to a stop near his farmhouse. As they were getting out, they saw lots of children shambling around. Vinton left the motor running just in case. Shelley Mae nudged Vinton and got him to look near the McCracken house. A bunch of the little kids were gathered around something. When they got close enough, Shelley Mae screamed.
"Oh, shit!"
Vinton gasped when both he and Shelley Mae had seen what was left of Verna McCracken's body, with the uneaten head still attached to it. The rest of her body had been eaten right down to the bones. The little zombies turned to them and started getting back to their feet.
"Baby, we done just saw some of them zombies at the drive-in," Shelley Mae cried. "Didn't we leave that place?"
"You done know we left, sugar."
Vinton recognized the lead zombie immediately.
"Hey, ain't that little Billy McCracken?"
When Billy saw them, he raised his severed arm up high and growled.
Let's get out of here, Shelley May cried. As they turned back to their truck, they realized they were surrounded. Vinton quickly grabbed Shelley May's hand and yanked her in the direction of Silas Blankenship's trailer. They ran inside and slammed the door shut.
Help me!
Shelley May yelled. Vinton turned to see her pushing an old cabinet. He pulled on the other end to help her shove it up against the door.
Ain't no back door here, Vinton said. There's a gun cabinet over...
Shelley May and Vinton both screamed when they saw what was left of Silas Blankenship. Vinton fell to his knees and threw up. Shelley May wanted to join him, but she knew it wasn't the time.
Come on, honey, get up! We got them things outside!
Vinton got to his feet. Sorry, baby. Shelley May waved her hand in front of her.
Ew! Talk about potty mouth! Now come on!
They went to the gun cabinet and armed themselves. There wasn't much ammunition left, at least not enough for them to make a last stand. Then Shelley May noticed the child corpse on the floor with what was left of its brains exposed. Child zombies were pushing against the front door. The cabinet was starting to move. They would be in soon. Vinton took a shot at A.J. Hamilton, but the bullet only seemed to stun him for a moment before he started shambling towards them again. Then Shelley May came up next to Vinton and shot A.J. square in the head. He fell back very quickly and never got up.
It's like in that movie we saw tonight, she explained. You gotta hit him in the head to put him down. We can't finish them all, Vinton groaned. We ain't got enough ammo.
They turned and ran into Silas's bedroom. As Vinton closed the door, little Billy McCracken managed to get in. Shelley May screamed and tried to shoot him in the head.
Oh, fucking hell! Guns jammed! She groaned.
Vinton tackled Billy and quickly got off him. Shelley May used the butt of her shotgun to shatter a window. Then they heard Billy growling repeatedly.
Shit, we gotta move, baby, Vinton quipped.
He's calling the others over here. As soon as Shelley May was through the window and on the dirt, she heard other zombies shambling towards her. Vinton was about to climb through the window when Billy grabbed him from behind.
Oh, shit,
Vinton cried.
Help!
Shelley May tried to take aim before she remembered. Her gun was still jammed. She only had a pistol with two shots left in it. When she saw Vinton shove Billy away, she quickly yanked her pistol out and shot two of the zombies in the head. She ran and grabbed what felt like an axe. As she lifted it, the handle fell off.
Oh, God damn it! Out front, Shelley May!
Vinton called. Shelley May quickly removed her heels and ran barefoot back out front where Vinton was waiting. He grabbed her hand and they ran back to the pickup.
Oh, come on!
Vinton groaned when he saw a zombie boy sitting in the driver's seat. The zombie hissed loudly as he looked at Vinton. It didn't see Shelley May enter from the open passenger door and kick it out.
Come on, Vinton, get in here, let's haul ass!
Vinton shot inside. Then he floored the gas and plowed through some of the zombies to get away.
Oh my God, we really ain't left the drive-in!
Shelley May groaned.
Those are real fucking zombies back there.
Yeah, I know, baby. We gotta get some help.
Drive to my folks' house and see if they still there. You know Daddy's got guns.
Y'all don't need to tell me that. He done showed me when he found me in bed with you a few months back. Shelley May took his hand.
Aw, and here you are, still with me.
Vinton screeched to a halt outside Shelley May's farm. They got out and ran into the house. Elmore Rubottom grabbed hold of Vinton.
I thought I told you never to see my baby girl again.
Shelley May came in between them.
Daddy, we got bigger problems. Let him go.
Elmore reluctantly obeyed.
This better be good, darling.
Of course, Elmore didn't believe them when they told him about little Billy McCracken and his zombie posse. However, Elmore did show concern when his wife, Eloise, came into the room.
Honey? Wilbur ain't come home yet. He went out hunting hours ago, and he ain't been back since.
Wilbur was Shelley May's little brother, who usually went out hunting and brought game home for Eloise to prepare while Elmore tended his friends. But then Shelley May remembered something.
Oh, fuck!
She turned to Elmore.
Daddy, Wilbur's one of them things. I remember now.
Elmore shook her off.
Now look, you expected me to believe that some...
Some little zombillies are out walking around and killing and eating people?
That's exactly what we expect you to believe, sir, Vinton replied. And Wilbur's one of them, Shelley May emphasized. Saw him when Vinton and I escaped.
As Elmore was about to yell again, they heard a loud crash outside. Shelley May quickly ran to the front window.
Oh, fuck, she yelled. Them little zombillies are here.
What? Vinton came over to the window. Them little shits can drive?
Little Billy McCracken got out of Silas Blankenship's pickup. He'd driven his zombie army in. He pointed to Vinton and Shelley May and growled to the others. They seemingly obeyed him as they got out of the truck and started advancing towards the house. Vinton quickly slammed the inside door and locked it. He helped Shelley May move a couch up against it. Elmore opened the front window.
You goddamn kids, get your asses off my property right now! Ah!
Daddy!
Shelley May screamed when the zombies yanked Elmore out the window. Now it was her turn to fall to her knees and throw up after she saw her dad get torn apart. Vinton made sure she was okay and helped her up.
What in tarnation is going on? Eloise demanded.
Shelley May pointed to her mother.
We gotta get the guns, Mom. Call the neighbors and get them out here, or we're gonna be fixins like Daddy.
She grabbed Vinton's hand.
Come on!
She led Vinton to the gun rack in her parents' bedroom. They armed themselves and grabbed what ammunition they could.
Think this'll be enough? Vinton asked.
Who knows? Shelley May replied. We may have to make a last stand here. They looked at each other for a moment, and then shared a kiss, in spite of the fact that they both had less than acceptable breath. When they heard a crash at the back door, they headed back to the living room. Eloise quickly hung up the phone.
One of them little shits yanked the phone line, she shrieked. Now they's coming in.
Bullshit,
Shelley May raised her shotgun, shot one zombie in the head coming in, cocked the weapon and shot another one dead in the head. Suddenly, there were blazing headlights out front, along with a lot of commotion. Then they heard whooping and hollering and gunshots.
You got through, Mama, Shelley May cried. Come on, Vinton, let's go help them.
Damn right.
The two lovers hurried out the front door and joined in with the posse as they were shooting at the zombies. However, the swarms of bullets only seemed to be stunning them briefly before they'd advance again.
Jesus ain't shit if they ain't still coming, one of the posse yelled. Lord, and I ain't believing this shit,
another one added.
Aim for the head, Shelley May yelled. The head!
Then she shot one in the telltale place to show them. Vinton shot another one in the head to re-emphasize his girlfriend's point.
Now let's kill these little zombillies.
Then Shelley May saw little Billy McCracken and pointed at him.
Y'all go get fucked, you little shit.
Billy growled and started shambling away as she raised her gun, but Billy proved to be more clever than she thought as he made it behind the trailer.
Oh, no, you don't. Shelley May took off after him. Y'all come back here, you rotten little fucker.
Shelley May was soon joined by Vinton.
No way you go off alone, darling. We stick together.
Shelley May nodded. Oh, where'd that little fucker go? God damn it, we can't let him get away.
He'll make more of them zombillies like himself, Vinton agreed.
As they rounded the corner, Vinton cried out and fell on his side.
Shit!
Shelley May saw some bear traps laid out. Vinton had stepped in one.
Shit, I think my leg's broke, Vinton moaned. Go get him, Shelley May!
Shelley May called for help for Vinton. When she was sure he was safe, she hunted for Billy. She shined her light around, even being careful not to be in a position where Billy might attack her. A few of the posse joined her and helped look for him, but it seemed that Billy had just vanished.
Fuck, we done lost him, Shelley May muttered.
Don't you worry none, honey, a posse member told her. We'll get a few more folks and hunt that little shit down. He can't have gone far.
Morning came when little Billy McCracken shambled towards a log cabin. If he could have been seen, it might have appeared as though he was sneering, and maybe growling a little laughter. Billy had escaped the posse by hiding underneath an old junk car near the traps he placed. When the posse left, he made his escape. In Billy's zombie mind, he knew it would only be a matter of time before he'd infect people again and have a new army. Suddenly, Billy heard the loud gunshot and felt his leg being blown away at the kneecap. He growled and fell onto his back. Patrick Gunter, the mayor of Strickfield, advanced toward him with his powerful rifle. He looked down at Billy and groaned a little as he shook his head slowly and reloaded the rifle. "I'm sorry this happened to you, kid, but you gotta understand something here." He raised the rifle and aimed for Billy's head. "I don't like goddamn zombies on my property." That was the last thing little Billy McCracken heard before Mayor Gunter fired his gun.
Well, my friends, I hope you enjoyed that story as much as I did. Had a little bit of fun. It feels like it's been far too long since we had some pure zombie mayhem on the show. So now there's only one thing left to say. Who's hungry? I want to mention, while I was recording that story for you all to enjoy, a massive thunderstorm broke out and was a bit scary, if I'm being honest. I was a little nervous there for a hot minute, but it really helped me get the intensity going. So I hope you enjoyed that reading. I thought it turned out super, super good. And speaking of super, super good, I want to say a humongous thank you to everyone who is backing us on Patreon. Patreon is really the way that you can support the show and make sure we keep bringing you episodes week after week after week. We have 80 backers right now, and we would love to have 100 this year. So please consider going to weeklyspooky.com, clicking on Patreon, and signing up. You'll also be able to get exclusive episodes of the program, where I'll be reading some stories I might not normally read. But speaking of a big thank you to Patreon, I want to say an extra big thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who paid just a little bit extra to hear their names on the show and in my silky voice. Those are Christopher Sullivan, Kathy Proquet, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you from the bottom of my dark black heart for all of your support. Ah, yes. Well, anyway, my friends, I need to get out of here. I've got so much work to do, especially now that we're doing a monthly bonus weekly spooky on Patreon. I'll also be launching a new bonus podcast on Patreon about my career in filmmaking. So if that's something you're interested in, there's never been a better time to sign up. Now, anyway, for myself, for my executive producer, Rob Fields, my producer, Dan Wilder, and my composer, Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.